The following podcast is brought to you by Radio Southland and New Zealand On Air. Radio Southland is a community access media station based in Invercargill, New Zealand. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, radiosouthland.org.nz, for our contact details.
Hi there, I'm Kylie.
And I'm Yana Joy. Welcome to our podcast, The Wisdom Collective, on Radio Southland 96.4 FM.
This is where we have real, raw and unfiltered conversation about life, health and well-being. Join us as we draw on the wisdom gained through our life experiences.
Today's topic, speak your truth.
Oh, I tell you what, that excites me as well as scares me. And I immediately also think of Joyda. Mm-hmm. Who I had a voice activation with more than once, and I didn't even consider that to be a thing until I'd had a voice activation with her, and then I realised, oh my goodness, I have not been honest about how I've been feeling or thinking, and I have just remained silent. It was almost like I had been shut down and oppressed.
Because you had.
And I didn't even, and I hadn't even recognised it. So I had gone from a very outspoken person to not. Although in saying that, it still was in certain areas.
I struggle the most in my intimate relationships. So when I'm out in the world, I'm fierce with my truth. I'm fierce with my opinions, my feelings, whatever's going on. I've got boundaries like a mofo. Like, I am good. But when it comes to my intimate relationships, my closest, I'm not even so much my friends. I feel like I'm pretty good with my friends as well. I'm not perfect, but I'm getting there. But it's my that intimate romantic relationship, and that's where I struggle the most. And I adopt this get along, go along to get along attitude, and it's a way of silencing myself and not speaking up when I have opinions or I have feelings about something. Or yeah, I don't speak up, and I don't know. I guess I'm just avoiding conflict.
I think that's interesting because I could relate to that. Because like I say, it was in certain areas that I would be quiet, not all areas. But, I remember being in staff rooms and just there'd be say 30 staff and you're going around and everyone's saying something. And I would get that nervous feeling oh my gosh, and not want to say anything. Yeah, so it was certain situations would bring this out where I just oh my gosh, I didn't want to say what I truly thought.
Fear of being seen sometimes, because if I am in that people pleaser state, and we call it easygoing and cruisy, which sounds really good, but what it really is that I'm stifling my voice. And when I'm going along to get along and I'm avoiding conflict and I'm not telling the truth, then I'm not vulnerable. And if I show up with the truth of who I am and how I feel, and you reject that person, that's far scarier to me than rejecting the sort of, easygoing persona that I adopt sometimes.
Mm. Well, I also think too, as women, I think this is a significant topic. Mm. Speak your truth. Because I feel like there has been these themes around women, and especially within the church realm, and within many religions actually, and belief systems, that women, their job is to cook and clean and tidy up, and I know that isn't to everybody.
We're there to serve,
and we've certainly shifted that a lot, but there is still this. I know I experienced it, that the woman's voice was a lesser. Mm-hmm. And that it was not appropriate. And also, if we look women not being having the right to vote for so long, that shows that theme was definitely prevalent.
In my lifetime. This wasn't hundreds of years ago.
No. And so I feel like a lot of that too, a lot of this plays up as a woman and as a little girl. Mm-hmm. If women weren't valuable, then how would we have seen ourselves as little girls and our ability to speak
ornamental.
Up? Yeah. Oh, my God.
I was raised to be ornamental. Yeah.
Oh, that's a biggie.
And that's nothing about my parents. That was the culture I was raised in. You know, girls, women are ornamental. We're trophies to be won and shown off, but we're not to actually speak about anything. We're not meant to really, you don't need to have a brain. You don't need to have opinions. You just need to be quiet and look pretty.
Yeah. And I mean, that's definitely a societal collective consciousness that exists out there. And I think this is what really surprised me. When Joyda did this voice activation at Kari's at Aura once, we were in a circle and she was like, whoa, you're all so quiet, because we were all like just too scared to say. Mm-hmm. And she said, right, okay, everybody stand up, we're doing a voice activation. And she started to speak to the times when we'd said yes and we wanted to say no, and when you were really wanting to say no and it wasn't honoured or it wasn't listened to. And it was really like, whoa, it was really quite an emotional experience. Mm-hmm. And I recognised with her through that process the amount of times that I had remained silent. Like every time she kept talking to that, I kept getting glimpses of things coming up for me of times I had done this. Mm. And I recognised, wow, there is so much that I have not said. And I had just sort of kept it to myself, and it just builds in the body, and it actually does cause sickness.
Yeah.
Like not speaking up and not really saying what you think, it actually just sits in your body. And I'm really thankful that I've had that opportunity to have a couple of voice activations with her.
Yeah, I think that what's happened, and I found this in myself, is that I resist this notion around being a feminist and the connotations that we are fed, the narrative that women are fed around that. And really, feminism is just believing that women deserve equal rights. Doesn't mean we deserve more than. We're just saying we deserve equal. And that's all it is. So how could I not be a feminist? How could anybody not be a feminist? How could anybody say, I don't believe that women should be treated equally? But yet we now have this huge movement with a certain political situation in my former country, where we have this misogynistic, chauvinistic wave of hatred against women and violence against women, and it's showing up in the legislation. It's abominable what's going on. And what it's also done is it's created this sort of woman-hating, these incels, these involuntarily celibate men, because women are finally saying, no, enough. I'm not going to take a back seat. I'm not going to stay quiet. I'm not just going to look pretty. And I have needs, and I have wants, and I have goals, and I have dreams, and I have a voice, and I'm going to take up space, and I'm going to speak my truth. And so it's now being met with this wave of misogyny, and everybody, you know, every woman-hating guy out there with a microphone has a podcast from his car where he's, you know, talking to other men with this sort of red pill philosophy of how to keep a woman in her place. And we want the trad wife or the traditional wife go back to that time where women would just looked pretty and served. And if you don't subscribe to that, you're now a feminist. Ooh, that's the worst thing you can be. And I thought, wow, my own resistance, my own internalized misogyny, where I don't want to identify as a feminist, when really all it means is we're equal, not better than equal. And I've had to look at that and unpack that. And in my voice activation has really come from actually saying this kind of stuff out loud, like I just did. That's a voice activation for me, because I have just as much worth as a man, you know. And I don't think that anybody who believes differently to that or thinks being a feminist is bad, well, those are just people I don't need in my life, period.
Well, I think the feminist, it depends what it provokes in people and the lens that they view it through. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I know that the feminist movement has been massive and it's had a very big impact on our society. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I see women going off to war and women in these roles that I don't feel drawn to, and I don't.
And that's okay. Yeah. But you now have the freedom because of those feminists from, you know, all the way back to even before the 60s and the 20s, when they gave us the right to vote. Yeah. We can vote now. We get to choose.
Yeah.
You actually have a choice. It may not be your choice, but you have that choice.
Yeah.
And that's important.
And it is like it is true, they have paved the way and they've put seats at tables that women have never been at mm-hmm. before, mm-hmm. and which has given us a much bigger range and scope of influence,
yeah.
which is why I think it's so important that we speak our truth.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have been programmed, which many of us have been, mm-hmm. to be silent, you actually, there's a lot to work through within that.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, the other thing is when you start speaking your truth, you're going to become a trigger because you're going to say things that people don't actually like to hear.
You're going to ruffle a lot of feathers, particularly the people who benefit from your silence.
Yeah, and that's one thing I'm really thankful, like, that my mum did raise me to be quite outspoken because she was outspoken. But I did also see people were really threatened by that mm-hmm. and very intimidated by an opinionated woman.
That's not feminine, is it?
Yeah. Well, no, and it was outside of the role mm-hmm. that woman had actually played in. Mm-hmm. And again, this is like we're constantly in a play. Like there are different scenes and scenarios and characters playing out, but this is actually like real life.
And I think, you know, sitting here as a postmenopausal woman, and it's pretty typical among the postmenopausal among us, which is where we find our voice, because I don't have that lack of confidence that I had when I was younger to speak up for myself. I didn't have the experience. I didn't have the wisdom. I didn't have the way showers. I didn't have the community around me of women that just don't give a crap about that traditional way of being, what traditional feminism or even feminist women, feminism looks like. And so we have this really altered view of masculinity and femininity now that's sort of being sold to us by, and it's in the spiritual community as well. In fact, it's probably even more rife mm. there, which I find quite shocking. And it's rife with predatorial behavior. And it's all about women either being put back into our quiet little box, or you have like that woman who slept with like 1,000 men in one day to prove that she could. And I thought, wow, if that's not patriarchy expertly exploiting this idea around feminism to vulnerable young women who don't realize that that's actually not what empowerment looks like.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I find that quite challenging. Mm. But I think, you know, this is also like as women, it's like it's the collective.
Mm.
You know, we kind of have to unite on this. And women are great at rallying, actually. Like, we are fabulous at that. But, yeah, like, we need to honour ourselves.
Mm.
And I feel like every time you speak your truth, that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
You're honouring, like, okay, I actually have a voice. When you look at people, most of the significant changes that have happened in life have been from speaking, from people that have been bold enough to say it.
Yeah.
In a society that is not going to well receive, like it's not well received. But
it takes a lot of courage to speak up against bullshit.
Yeah. Well, and there's so many examples in society where people have experienced that, like the shutdown, the oppression.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Māori is a great example of that, with their voices being, their language being silenced.
Mm-hmm.
This is the power of the, you know, of the prison.
Mm-hmm.
And that this has taken years for them to unpack. And even now, people can still be afraid due to their generational trauma to speak the language because of what their ancestors experienced.
Well, we also internalize that oppression and it becomes no longer their voice but our own voice. And speaking your truth, that's not to say that it's a hall pass to beat people over the head with it, because my truth is just that. It's just my truth. It's not necessarily the truth. And I think that is important to recognize that there is a difference between that. And yes, there are some truths mm-hmm. that I think are black and white. Like there's just some things that you're never going to convince me that women are less valuable than men. You're never going to convince me that somebody with brown skin is less valuable than somebody with white skin. Those to me are universal truths. That's not my truth. That is the truth. But beyond that, most of how I move through the world is really just how I want to be treated, how I want to be loved, how I deserve respect, and speaking up for myself and saying these are the things that I need in order to feel those things. And that's not demanding that you supply that or you change or you do anything to meet that need. It's me speaking up and going, this is what I need. you have the choice not to meet that need. And then I have the choice to walk away from that relationship.
Oh, I love that thought. And on that, we'll just pause. If you're just joining us, welcome. This is the Wisdom Collective with Kylie and Yana Joy. And today we are talking about speaking your truth. I love that because I think that is the key. Mm. That when you speak your truth, you then honour those who speak theirs. Mm-hmm. That's the key here. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the more you do it, the better you get at it. And being open, because it is just that. Mm-hmm. Like if you're going to speak your truth, well, then you have to be open to other people's mm-hmm. and hold space for that.
Yeah.
And it really is a matter of just letting them share what they think.
Mm. Yeah, and having our own back. You know, so many times I have betrayed myself far more than other people have betrayed me in this life, far more. And almost every betrayal, external betrayal that I've experienced has begun with a self-abandonment. And, that's a bitter pill to swallow, but that's where my sovereignty and my empowerment lies. If I can go, okay, this horrible thing happened, but what came before that? Where did I not set a boundary? Where did I not speak up for myself? Where did I not speak the truth? Where did I not set boundaries around how I expect to be treated? And then make decisions accordingly. Where have I silenced my own inner knowing? Often. I mean, I always know. Like, I have a pretty high-tuned radar, and I know. Mm. And I ignore it. Why do I ignore it? Because it's easier to go along, to get along. There's less conflict.
Well, we think it's easier.
We're settling.
But in the long term, it's sitting with the fact that you didn't say. Like, it actually gets really uncomfortable. And I've done this too. I've looked back and I've gone, I knew this. Like, what was I doing? Mm-hmm. And I have to, again, reflect on it, journey, go deep, and figure this out.
Mm-hmm. We settle, though. We settle for things that we don't really want because, like, if we settle for a relationship that we know is not aligned, it's because, well, it's better than being alone, you know, so we're quick to settle. And that's also a form of not speaking our truth, because our truth to say, I actually deserve more than this. It's not to say that someone's bad and you're better than or anything like that. It's that I deserve a relationship that looks like X, Y, and Z, where my needs are being met. And they're important, essential needs. And I actually deserve that. But first, I have to get over that little hurdle of worth.
Yeah, an interesting point, because speaking your truth, okay, saying what you think but not saying it is just exactly the same. Like, again, it's like you're not being honest. Mm-hmm. You're completely not being honest.
Yep.
And you're just sitting there and you're holding back. So to not speak is
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was so easygoing, but really I was a liar. And not in the malicious sense, but I wasn't telling the truth. When things bothered me, when things upset me, when things hurt my feelings, when things were happening that completely flew against my values on a visceral level and I don't speak up, that's lying.
Mm.
And it causes harm.
It's interesting because there are certain things, like I'm a big justice, like if there's something taking place, like there's like this part of me that just rises to that occasion. Like I will meet that with fire.
Same.
Like every time.
Unless it's against me.
Mm.
This is where I struggle. I'll fight your injustice, but will I fight my
own? Interesting point, yes. But yeah, there is this thing I can, so there are certain, again, there are certain spaces where I'm happy to do that. Mm. But yeah, the certain speaking your truth requires different things in different moments. Mm-hmm. But I love this, like this quote, and it's like, I will speak my truth even if my voice quivers or shakes. And I just think, actually, sometimes I have been in those moments where my voice has been shaking and learning to just carry on speaking even though that's happening.
Maybe because that's happening, that's a really strong indicator that you actually are telling the truth. Because if you've been lying long enough, you may not even remember what the truth is.
Yeah, and I think the power of our voices, the amount of times that I have talked to somebody after saying something quite, I don't know if I was to share something or speak on something, and then somebody comes and they say, wow, like that actually really spoke to me. Thank you. Like I think sometimes within the speaking our truth, we forget the power of it.
Yeah.
And the effect that it can have on people, because I've been inspired by people that have shared their stories. I've been inspired by people that were vulnerable, that were open and honest, and actually they have been the ones that have really helped me to step into my truth.
Well, that
watching
was
them.
Our intention with this podcast was to show up and have these real, raw, authentic and vulnerable conversations where we're not sitting here telling everyone how to live their life from our podium of, you know, expertise or enlightenment, but hey, we're in the arena as well, getting our asses kicked. And this is our experience, strength, and hope. And this is what, you know, we can offer to the world. And you can judge us for it. You can reject it. You can vibe, whatever. We don't care because we're not doing it for that sort of acceptance. We're doing it because we're showing up naked and vulnerable.
Yeah.
And this is what it looks like doing the work and hoping that if it benefits people and they get a little bit of hope or a little bit of, I don't know, a good hack that changes their life in some small way, like that's really what we're here for.
Totally. And learning like to stand up for ourselves, to say what we need to say and actually really encourage people to do that. Mm. I mean, it's hard if you're in a relationship that's completely imbalanced and there's a lot of fear around that. That's, you know, these things can build. But what can happen is that every time you don't speak your truth, it's like another, I don't know how to describe it, but, you know, it just, it's like another dint. Like every time you don't, it's like a hit.
Yeah.
It's like a, like it does something to your spirit. Like it does.
Poking holes.
Something to your wider world. Like it changes you. And what was interesting was that I lost my voice without recognizing I'd lost my voice. Like that, I find that so scary.
Well, because it's a slow process. It's not like you have a voice and one day you wake up with no voice, unless you get severe laryngitis, which interestingly, I'm really prone to. If I get unwell, when I get a flu or cold or whatever, when I get sick, invariably I lose my voice completely to the point where I can barely whisper. And it's just an interesting phenomenon because I always felt like it was sort of the universe's way of telling me to shut up and listen, because there's wisdom in that too. You know, I can't just always be, you know, with my megaphone speaking my truth. Sometimes I need to shut up and listen. And so my body will intervene on my behalf and literally silence me, but in a way that is necessary. So that's the other side of speaking your truth, is there is wisdom in knowing when to be silent.
Yeah, and that is true, like absolutely. Yeah, it's all about the balance. It is about your own inner intuition and going with your guidance. But, you know, this is really speaking to that, to like to the moments when you know you need to. And it's you know, like it's to stop participating with the people pleasing. It's to, because I think what I find interesting is that like my life just shifted so much the more I did these things. And I must say, I did actually go to quite a few protests and it felt great. I could hold my sign and I could like, you know, speak and shout it out. And it felt so darn good. I actually felt like I went through a really long voice activation process, which started with protesting. And then, you know, Joyda really activated the rest of that. But it completely shifted how I walked into a room. Like beforehand, I would have been sort of like, you know, a bit hunched over, not wanting to be seen.
Take up space.
Yeah, but once I had journeyed this, wow, like I stepped into a completely different place and I recognised that I actually have a part to play with the collective. We all do. And every time you don't share that, somebody's missing out on what you, like, we're missing out as a collective, because everyone is valuable. Everybody has something to contribute. And when you don't, you're holding that back from everybody.
Well, we all have medicine to share. And I think the mission, my mission in life, is to figure out what that medicine is and do it. And it's not going to be regulate. I still can't speak with this fasting. I'm on, my tongue's too big for my mouth. It's still relegated to this area of one thing. I don't think that we're here for one thing. I think we have many, many gifts. And what's medicine for you will not feel like medicine to somebody else. And so I can provide something that's medicine for them. So we do have a responsibility to show up and offer our medicine. And it's not our business whether they receive it or not. It's our job just to show up and speak our truth and share our medicine. And the rest is not up to us.
Yeah, I fully agree. And I just think, you know, if you're someone that just feels like, I don't know, like this silent, like, resentment almost, or this undercurrent of, like, I just know that I'm not staying true to me. Like, dare to believe that what you say is valuable.
And that's the invitation. Mm. So where, well, I think we always know. We have that feeling.
We do. We totally do.
Where are you not speaking up for yourself? Where are you not telling the truth? But more importantly, why? What's preventing you? Mm. What are you afraid of? Because it's going to be something around abandonment, rejection, looking stupid,
conflict.
You know, for me, knowing I was going to have to leave a 24-year marriage, that was terrifying. And I waited a long time to finally do that because I had a lot of fears to overcome around that. And boy, once you've done the big, scary, hard things, there's no turning back. Mm. There's no turning back. And I wouldn't go back. I can't even imagine living my life today like I lived it before. And I was happy. I was happy, but in a very limited sense. You know, the gilded cage, when you don't know any better, it can be quite comfortable. And this is not the comfortable path. I will not sugarcoat that.
No, but I tell you what, though, this feels good.
Mm.
Like this feels good. When you are speaking your truth, you don't go home and go, oh, I wish I'd said this. Mm-hmm. Oh, damn, why did I not say that?
Like, none
of that is going on.
Yeah.
You are like, yeah, like it feels good.
Yeah.
And
you're free.
Yeah. And there's no second guessing. It's like, I fully back me. I'm going to say what I've got to say. And there'll be times when I probably look stupid for that. I'm okay with that.
And if I hurt your feelings, then I trust you as an adult to come to me and say, hey, that was really harsh, and give me an opportunity to repair.
100%. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like, again, you know, it's also up to people to regulate their emotions. And we should be able to say what we think, and whatever that provokes in other people as well, that's still their work.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So that's the invitation. Please jump on the comments. We'd love to hear how you're working with speaking up for yourself and speaking your truth.
Yeah.
And on that, we will wrap things up.
Yep.
So you can find us on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we have two Spotify pages, the Wisdom Collective, and then the Wisdom Collective Archives, and the Archives page has the full library of all of our older episodes. We have a YouTube channel. If you're watching us, you're already here. Please don't forget to subscribe, follow, make sure you don't ever miss an episode, and please, please, please support our work and share your favorite episode with a friend. We'd be so grateful.
Cool.
Thank you. The Wisdom Collective with Kylie and Yana is available on the Radio Southland website. You can stream or download our podcast from the site. Just look for the Programs tab. Links to stream our podcast can also be found on the Radio Southland Facebook page. You can also find us on the accessmedia.nz app. Just look for the kiwifruit logo. Download it for free from Google Play and make sure you select Radio Southland as your station.
The preceding podcast was brought to you by Radio Southland with the support of New Zealand On Air. Their funding of accessmedia.nz makes these podcasts available. To find similar programs by other stations involved, go online to accessmedia.nz.